Today, as we come to the table.
Why are you calling me now? Because now you're ready. Now, Moses, you finally are in a place where I can use you. I've done all that I needed to do in you because it's a huge ministry that I have for you. And in order for you to handle a huge ministry, it takes a lot of work. You know, a church of over 2 million people, think about that. Moses is taking over a church of over 2 million people out to the wilderness. And they're all going to be grumbling and complaining most of the time. How many years would it take to prepare for that? I would almost say, not enough, ever. 1,000 years wouldn't do it, you know? God gave Moses 40 and said, Moses, go and be my servant and be my witness.
God does prepare his people to do what he has planned for them. He really does. But you might not think you're ready when he finally tells you what he wants you to do. Look at Moses. He had 40 years to learn and grow. But when God finally laid out the plan, Moses started throwing out every excuse in the book. Is that your first response to God too? Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary Knoxville. Today, tell the Lord you're ready to do what he's asked. Even if you don't think you are, Pastor Mark reminds you that God's got you. His plans are perfect, and he's not leaving you alone. You'll have his help always, and he's made you ready. Pastor Mark has more to say, so join him now in Exodus chapter 4 for the beginning of his message. Enough already with the excuses.
We are ready to get into the Word. If you don't have a Bible, be sure and grab one before you sit down. We've got some back there in the back, but open up your Bible if you got them. To Exodus chapter 4, starting in verse 10, it says, Then Moses said to the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent neither before nor since that you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. So the Lord said to him, Who has made man's mouth? Or who made man mute or deaf or seeing or blind? Have I not, the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall say. But he said, O my Lord, please send by the hand of whomever else you may send. So the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, Is not Aaron the Levite your brother? I know that he can speak well. And look, he's also coming out to meet you. When he sees you, he'll be glad in his heart. Now you shall speak to him and put the words in his mouth, and I will be with your mouth and with his mouth, and I will teach you what you shall do. So he shall be your spokesman to the people, and he himself shall be as a mouth for you, and you shall be to him as God. And you shall take this rod in your hand with which you shall do the signs. Father, Lord, your word is so true to every generation. And right now, as we finish looking at all the excuses that Moses made, and Lord, about why he wasn't the one to answer the call. You told him what you wanted him to do, and he made all the excuses as to why he couldn't do it. Lord, some of us are like that in this room tonight. There's probably someone in here, Lord, with this many of us, there's bound to be one or two that they know in their heart something that you've put in their heart to do, and they just haven't done it for whatever the reason. And maybe, Lord, they've used excuses. Maybe they've thought of everything they can as to why they're not really the one. They're not trained. They don't speak good. They don't have a good enough, whatever the case might be. Lord, do away with the excuses tonight. And as you show us you doing away with Moses' excuses, let us realize we have no excuse. The time is short. Especially as we see brothers and sisters around the world dying for their faith. We need to be about the Father's business. And so I pray you'd help us to learn what our gifts and talents are and to use them, Lord, to the best we can, whatever ability, large or small, even if they're only small abilities, no excuses, just serve us. Because, Lord, you gave it all for us. The least we can do is give back what we have for you. So open your word, Lord, and just minister to your flock in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, over the last few weeks, you guys know we've been looking at God's call on Moses' life. We've seen all of Moses' excuses and reasons as to why Moses can't do it. He's not the one. Certainly, Lord, I'm hearing wrong. It's someone else you're going to send. You know, I like the warmth of my seat here on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. And if I get up, it may get cold and somebody might take it. So just let them serve. and I want to stay right here. I'll just watch. Watching's good enough for me, and then I'll get in the kingdom. It's good enough. Will you get in the kingdom if you just watch from this point on? Yes. If you know Christ, yes. But how much better to get in doing something, guys? Get in going for it. I mean, it doesn't matter, little or small, whatever your gifts are. Get going. Be about the Father's business. You know, sometimes if the heat's really hot and things are really going tough, you know, I have my questions and I think, Lord, is it worth it? You know, and we all have those moments that is it worth it moments. But I still go back to that proverb, you know, where it says, hey, you know, the way they used to work their fields back then was they had oxen, and the oxen would pull the plows and they'd work the fields and they'd get something done. And so the proverbist, it's probably not a word, but the one who wrote the proverb, and one of the proverbs said this, you know what? If the stall's clean, you don't get any work done. But if the stall's dirty, you have a harvest. Now I'm putting it in my own words. What does that mean? That means, you know what? If you're going to do anything to work the fields, you've got to have oxen. And that means you have a stall for the oxen. And what do oxen do in that stall when you don't have them out in the field? Okay, they stink it up. Let's just be honest, all right? They stink it up. And yeah, what he's saying is, yeah, you can have a clean stall. Nobody will accuse you of anything. You won't be slandered. You won't be gossiped. You won't get into any trouble. Everything can really go fairly smooth if you don't do anything. And that's very tempting. But you don't do anything. No work gets done for the Father. But if you're going to step out in battle, you're going to say, Lord, I'm going to serve you. Well, sometimes it stinks, okay? I'm not going to lie to you. Sometimes it just smells all around you. You're like, I hate this. Why is it so stinky? I just want to love you, Lord. Why is this so hard? Are you getting work done, Mark? Well, yes, I am. Well, then would you rather have a clean stall? In one way, well, all right, quit. Have a clean stall. You're still going to heaven. I just can't reward you. Oh, let's work. Let's go. I want to be about my Father's business. So you step back in the stall and you get to cleaning. And this is really where God's talking to Moses. Moses has stepped out. He heard God's voice 40 years earlier. Lord, I'm ready. I'm ready for the battle. He steps out. What happens? The ministry dies. Why? Because he did it in his own strength. Literally, he killed an Egyptian. That was literal death. And he buries him, right? Tries to bury it. And they find out he's on the run for 40 years. And God said, Moses, I did call you, but it wasn't time. So Moses now, as he's waiting on God, and I'll tell you, the hardest thing about serving the Lord is waiting. About anything's better than waiting. The hardest thing is waiting. So Moses is waiting. Finally, Moses waits, and he waits, thinking, when's God going to move? When's God going to move? 10 years go by. 10 more years go by. When's God get 30 years go by. When is God? By the time he's at 40 years, he says, okay, that's great. I've had a good life, and I'm ready just to relax, and I've had kids, probably grandkids by now, and I'm settled. You know, I'm a grandpa, and, you know, I don't really want to do anything now. I've done enough. And it's time to retire. By the way, when it comes to serving the Lord, is there a such thing as retirement? You know, built into the denominations, and I'm not picking on that. I just happen to know that because I know some denominational, several, quite a few denominational pastors, and built into the denomination, they have a built-in retirement age. Now, I know they're doing it for business reasons and Social Security and pension and all that, so they're not doing it. I'm not saying they're doing it for a wrong motive, but it really brings to my attention every time I hear another pastor talk about that, because some will retire and say, well, now it's time to get in the Winnebago and travel the country or whatever. You know, we serve the Lord till we die. That doesn't mean you can't serve the Lord traveling the country if you're not a pastor and God's called you to minister in places. I'm not saying that, but you know, that's what Dr. Oliver did. He travels the country in his own little truck there with the cover, and he goes and teaches creation science and all that. So there's a use for all those different ministries. But you know, there really is no retirement. We go until the day we die, until we don't have strength to do it anymore. And Moses, I think Moses was ready to retire. Moses was like, you know what? I'm done. I don't really want to do it. Send somebody else. There's guys younger than me. They're stronger than me. They can come up with a better plan. They can do whatever. And they've got the energy and they've got whatever. Look, I'm just an old man now and I'm 80 years old. And, you know, God, just why are you calling me now? Because now you're ready. Now, Moses, you finally are in a place where I can use you. I've done all that I needed to do in you because it's a huge ministry that I have for you. And in order for you to handle a huge ministry, it takes a lot of work. You know, a church of over 2 million people, think about that. Moses is taking over a church of over 2 million people out to the wilderness. And they're all going to be grumbling and complaining most of the time. How many years would it take to prepare for that? I would almost say, not enough, ever. 1,000 years wouldn't do it, you know. God gave Moses 40 and said, Moses, go and be my servant and be my witness. And Moses now is giving all these excuses, you know, why he can't do it. And it's amazing to really how we as people come up with excuses, either to get out of responsibility or to pass the buck. It just seems to be a part of our fallen nature to make excuses. Interesting. I read this today. I want to share this with you guys. According to the UPI news item, the Metropolitan Insurance Company, they received some unusual explanations for accidents from its automobile policy holders. So as people would send in why they had wrecks with their stuff, they kept those. And some of the funny ones they wrote down, and they actually put in this report here from the UPI News, they listed it. Listen to some of these excuses. This really just shows you how we can be when it, and some of them are just the way they worded it. They didn't mean anything by it, just the wording is funny. But listen to this. Here's the first guy. An invisible car came out of nowhere, struck my car, and vanished. Here's another one. The other car collided with mine without warning me of its intention. I had been driving my car for 40 years when I fell asleep at the wheel and had an accident. Here's another one. As I reached the intersection, a hedge sprang up, obscuring my vision. I love this. Here's the next one. Obviously, I like them better than you guys do. It's okay. I'll entertain myself for a minute. I'm usually the only one laughing at my jokes anyway, so we're right on target. Here's the next one. Listen, I pulled away from the side of the road. Oh, this is good. Listen to this. I pulled away from the side of the road, glanced at my mother-in-law, and headed over the embankment. Oh, classic. Oh, okay. Here's the next one. The pedestrian had no idea which direction to go, so I ran over him. I got three more. Hang in there. The telephone pole was approaching fast. I attempted to swerve out of its path when it struck my front end. Here's the next one. The indirect cause of this accident was a little guy in a small car with a big mouth. And here's the last one. The guy was all over the road. I had to swerve a number of times before I hit him. Now, we laugh at that, you know, and these were actual honest mistakes they made in writing this down. But you know what? I wonder what God thinks about our excuses. I mean, here we are up there, and I say to God, God, you know, I don't speak good. I speak fast. I speak loud. But oftentimes, I jumble my words, and my brain doesn't work right. You guys know all my little idiosyncrasies. Y'all know them better than anybody. You hear me each week, so you know all the things. So I could go to God and say, God, I can't do this. You get somebody that speaks so much smoother, and you have these guys that are so polished that teach the word, and everything is just like, everything is so perfect, you know. And God just has to say in heaven, what are you talking about? I'm God Almighty. I'm going to get my message across no matter who's up there. I spoke through a donkey. I can speak through you. We have to just realize there is no excuse, guys, when it comes to saying, Lord, I'm not ready. And now Moses, we're not going to recap all his other excuses, but notice in verse 10, the next one we come to, it says, then Moses said to the Lord, oh, my Lord, I'm not eloquent. You know, that means I don't speak well. Neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant. So the first time you called me, nor now, my speech hasn't changed. He says, but I'm slow of speech and I'm slow of tongue. Now, interesting. Moses tells God, here's why I can't be your spokesman, because I don't speak well and I never have spoken well. How many times have I heard that? I hear people say on a fairly regular basis, well, I can't speak in front of crowds. Well, it might be you're nervous in front of crowds, but God gives the ability to do whatever he calls you to do. Now, maybe God won't call you to speak in front of a crowd. So some of you just hearing that makes you panic. But I mean, if God did call you to speak in front of a crowd, do you believe that God is big enough to do it? And if God's going to ask you to do it, God's not going to ask you to do something he doesn't give you the ability to do. And Moses is saying, God, you're calling me to do this, and I can't do this. God doesn't accept it. It's about what God can do and not what we can do, not what Moses can do. Now, here's the interesting thing. If this is all we knew, we might go, okay, Moses, you've got maybe an argument of some kind. But it's interesting. If you look at what Stephen said about Moses, in Acts 7:22, it says that, and Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and deeds. What was Moses mighty in? Words. He was mighty in words. Moses was like, I'm not good at speech. Well, according to the New Testament, which is God's word that doesn't lie, you were mighty in words. Now, it could be that he was mighty and learned in words, and maybe he just didn't speak well. So I'm not saying that he's just outright lying, but he obviously doesn't have the right viewpoint of how God can use him, and he's not trusting in the Lord. God, I can't do that. You know, send somebody else. I'm not the one to share with them. Have the pastor go over and share with them. Call Mark. He'll go talk to them. And I will. But maybe you're standing there. And God's saying, talk to him right now. I don't know what to say. I couldn't. I just can't. Oh, so I don't have the power to give you the ability to? Well, no, I'm not really saying that, Lord. Then what are you saying? I'm saying that you don't have the power and the ability to help me do that right now. Okay, so you're agreeing with me. Then just say it. Stop making excuses and speak up. Okay? So understand that this is what Moses is doing. Sometimes we're guilty of this. And so Moses says here, he's mighty in words and deeds. Moses says, no, I'm not. I can't speak, Lord. So it's possible, again, that he knew how to speak. I mean, he just wasn't good at it. We don't know the whole story here, but we know that he was able. And now God's going to challenge him on this. Notice verse 11. So the Lord said to him, who made man's mouth? Now, what a question. You can't argue with that, can you? Who made man's mouth? God did. So what he's saying is, don't give me excuses about why you can't speak what I've told you to speak. I made the mouth, and I made it for that purpose. It was created so that you could share your faith and you could talk. And notice he says, or who made the mute or the deaf or the seeing or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth, and I will teach you what you shall say. So I'll show you, just do it. Now notice God shuts down Moses' argument here by reminding him that, number one, he's the one that made man's mouth. And if he made man's mouth, then he can do anything he wants. He can say what he wants through it. And God tells him to stop making the excuses, just go. And he says, if you'll go and you'll do what I'm asking you to do, I will teach you. I'll show you what to do as you do it. I have often found that that's how it's true in ministry. I mean, some of the best learning ground for ministry is doing it. I've talked to other guys that went to seminary and they spend 4 years in seminary and then they come out and they get a pulpit and they're, you know what? It's like, okay, I've learned how to put a study together and I know how to do word studies and I know background. I've done all this, but I don't know how to deal with people at all. And I don't know how to really deliver a study and I don't know how to counsel with someone. I've learned techniques, but I haven't done it, so I don't know how to do it. And I think that the best training ground for ministry is doing ministry. You know, Mark, how do I learn ministry? How do I do ministry? Do it. Start serving. Step up and serve. That's how you learn. You can take classes too. That's good. Classes are good. But stepping up and serving is the best way to learn ministry. It's just how God does it. It's just kind of on-the-job training, so to speak, and it works. The Lord says you just open up your mouth and be a witness, and he'll take care of the rest. But now this verse brings up some very interesting theological questions. One real big theological question. And notice he says here in verse 11, it says, God makes man's mouth, but he also makes the mute, the deaf, the seeing, and the blind. It's interesting. Does this mean that God wants people to be in these conditions and so he created them that way? No, I don't think that's what he's saying at all. It simply means that as the creator, he has made all things and all people. He's the creator of all. And although the fall of man produced abnormalities in mankind, God is still the creator. See, the reason we have blindness and deafness and all these is because of mankind's fall in the garden. And when mankind fell in the garden, the Bible says abnormalities entered into the world. Diseases, illnesses, abnormalities, defections, and all this stuff happened with the fall of man. But God's still the creator. God, at this point, has chosen not to override every abnormality and every problem. He's the Lord. He's letting it play its course out until one day he'll correct it all when he makes the blind see and the mute speak and all these things. The Bible says he'll do that in the kingdom. But the bottom line is, because of the fall of man, these abnormalities have come in. God's still the creator of that baby in the womb, isn't he? He still created that person that's blind. He still created that person that's deaf. He still created all those. And that's all he's saying. He said, look, I've created all people and all things. So you need to trust me and just go and do what I said to do, which, by the way, speaks to the mute and the blind and the deaf and all. God can use them as well, can't he? God's not limited by that. And some of the greatest ministries in the world are people, you think of Joni Erickson-Tada, she's crippled, she can't walk. She does art, she travels all over the world. I mean, there's all kinds of different situations people have that God can use them in great ways. So he makes a point here as well. Look, I'm God, trust me. I don't care what your situation is tonight physically or whatever the case might be. If you would just obey and serve me, I will use you and I'll use you in great ways. And that's really what he's telling Moses, but it goes across the board for us today as well. But now notice Moses is backed in a corner. Every excuse Moses could use has now been removed. He can't come up with another reason. God has silenced all of his excuses. And now he just has to say the truth. Look, I just don't want to do kids' ministry. I'm just going to say it. I'm not going to use the I'm not good with kids anymore. I don't want to do it. I'm not going to get involved in men's ministry. I don't want to. I'm not going to speak at the women's ministry event. I'm just not. I can't stand it. It makes me too nervous. No. Right? Now, if God's not calling you to, fine. But if God's calling you to, God says, time to obey the Lord. And whatever it is he's calling. We could use a number of examples in ministry. But he's backed in a corner. There's no more excuses. And look what he says, verse 13. But he said, oh my Lord, please, send by the hand of whomever else you may send. Anybody but me. I've gotten kind of comfortable with where I am right now. Okay, and things have been the same for 40 years. Got the same little sheep here. Got my home. Got, you know, my wife, the poor, the kids. Everything's great. I don't really want to stir the pot right now. Things are good. And this is interesting. As he finally sends, you know, basically, here I am, send someone else. I mean, that's where Moses is, you know. instead of here I am, send me, it's here I am, send someone else. And this is the real reason why many don't answer the call of God in their life. They, once their excuses are done, the bottom line is they simply don't want to do it. And it's just easier, as I said, to sit and watch others do it. And for some, they don't want to do it. For others, it's a lack of motivation. But either way, God says, no, you need to be about the Father's business. And, you know, guys, I want to challenge us with a couple of things tonight. Number one, are we serving the Lord? Now, if you're a mom with kids at home, you're serving the Lord. Absolutely. So, you know, it doesn't mean you have to be doing something necessarily even at Calvary Chapel to be serving the Lord. That's not what I'm talking about. It doesn't mean a specific ministry you have to be doing to serve the Lord. Just, are you serving? Is God using you? That's the first thing to challenge yourself with. And secondly, if not, why not? Are we just saying, Lord, I'm just kind of refusing to serve the Lord? Is it a lack of motivation? You know, what is it? Some of the excuses that, you know, I've heard over the years are things like this. I'm just too busy right now. Another one is, I don't know enough. Or I don't speak well. That's when I hear that one a lot. Or I'm not sure what to do with kids. It scares me. That's another one. You know, when it comes to kids ministry, you know, I'll tell you, I had no idea what to do with kids. You guys want to hear a little bit about being scared to do something. When I first gave my life to the Lord, God put me with kids immediately. And I look back now and I see his wisdom in that. But at the time I was like, I was convinced it was Satan, not God. And of course I'm joking. I knew it was the Lord because I felt the tug in my heart. But I was like, I was the baby of four. Being the youngest, I got away with most everything I ever did. I just kind of got away with everything. And I don't know if that's typical of the youngest, but I did. And I'd never really been around anybody disciplining kids or whatever. And when I got with all these kids, it was basically, you'll laugh when I tell you what it was. Some of you know my testimony, gymnastics. I'd never done gymnastics in my life. And you look at me now and say, gymnastics, you know. What were you, the medicine ball or something? Or they throw you back and forth or something? But they trained me to work with kids and different ages and doing all the different things and stuff. And God really used working with those kids to change my life. And I remember thinking, I don't know what to do with them, and I didn't know what to do with them, and I made a lot of mistakes with them. But it wasn't until years later when I was at a pastor's conference, Pastor Chuck, is here that I listened to one of his tapes, and he said, hey, you men that want to be pastors, he said, if you want to be a pastor, the first place you need to go is the kids' ministry and start there. And your mindset of me is, oh, I've got to start up with the small stuff, right, and work my way up. No, he said, because that's the training ground. That's where you're going to learn the most. He said, if you can minister to kids, you can minister to any human on this planet. And he said, so everybody that comes to him, he said, to Costa Mesa, and they say, Pastor Chuck, I want to be a pastor. He said, the first thing I do is send him to kids ministry. And I know now, looking back, why God did that, because some of the lessons I learned were invaluable. I mean, truly it is. If you can work with kids, I mean, you can work with anybody. I worked in this gym, and they would bring all these different vans throughout the day of these, you know, kids from little places, the kinder care, the whatever thing, you know. You'd finish one class thinking, I'm done for the day. I'm just done. And that next little bus with all these screaming kids would pull up, and I'm like looking, oh, and they all come piling in, you know. I'll never forget that cold linoleum floor in the bathroom, because I would go in between classes and put my forehead on it and say, God, you've got to help me with these kids this next class. You know, seriously, in my mind, I'm thinking, of course, I'm joking. I knew it wasn't that serious. But in my mind, I'm thinking things like, Lord, you delivered David from the lion. You can help me, you know, with these, you know, whatevers. And I don't mean that. No, I meant grade. I wouldn't call them a kid's name. That sounded bad. I meant third graders or second graders or first graders. And whatever class, because I had all ages. That's what I meant by that statement. Shame on all of you. I'm having to defend myself. Anyway.
While our time at the table of God's Word is ending for today, please keep reading in the book of Exodus. There's so much to discover and appreciate about God and His awesome power. So much of this book touches on God's redemption for His people. His love and care for them is what compels Him to do unheard acts to prove that He's for them and is there to rescue them. What a caring, loving God to go to such great measures to look out for His people. He has the same care and concern for you as well, and He wants to be your rescue. If you're unsure if you need to be rescued, we encourage you to hop over to thewaymedia.net and ask us any questions you have. Find the Come to the Table link, and then there's a form under Questions and Comments. Again, that's thewaymedia.net. You can also hear this message again at thewaymedia.net or download the Way Media app so you know when new broadcasts are happening. On behalf of Pastor Mark, we appreciate your prayers during this study through Exodus. Although this is an Old Testament book of historical accounts, there's so much to gain about the nature of God and His unrelenting loyalty to His people. We hope this overarching message is conveyed through Pastor Mark's teachings. We appreciate your prayers for this ministry as the Word of God goes forth to many who might not have heard it otherwise. Pastor Mark has more to share through the book of Exodus, so we hope you'll be able to join us the next time we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.